Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Good to be here. Is it good to be here today? Say amen. Glory. I'll tell you, I'm excited about today's Word. I'm excited about last week's Word because if you weren't here last week, I did a message called Elevate, How to Elevate Your Walk with God. And the Lord just turned to my heart and just said, we're not done with that yet. So I told you last week it was a one-timer. I was mistaken. It's at least a two-timer because here we are again today. But we talked about elevating your walk with God, and the way to do that is to have a diet of the Word of God. We need the Word of God in our life. And so I hope this week, and I know a few people have told me, you know, I've been reading the Word more, and at first it was hard. Because you know what? At first it's hard, right? Whenever you want to change anything in your life, it's going to be hard at first. And so they said, you know what? It was pretty hard at first, but now I'm really, I'm getting more into it. I'm getting into the Word. I'm starting to look forward to that time. And remember, we're not going for speed, right? We're not going to see how fast we can read something. We're going for what can get into us. And so I just encourage you over these next few weeks to just take some time, just make a commitment. You know, I'm going to read the Word every day for, you know, wherever you're at, 7 days, 5 days. What I'm going to read the Word of God every day. I'm just going to get it in me. I'm going to get a diet of the Word of God. Amen? And when I say diet, I mean, that's just what you're living on, right? And so I just encourage you in that. And as you do that, you're going to grow. And we all want growth, right? We all want spiritual growth. And so today, what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about the 5 spiritual stages of life. All right. We shouldn't say life, of growth. 5 stages of spiritual growth. So there's 5 stages. And so today, just as a group, all of us here together, let's just make a point because we want fruit, right? When the Bible talks about fruit, it's saying, what's growing off of me? We're all like trees. You know, we're like trees. And so we want fruit in our life. You know, the Bible says a fruit can be joy, peace, those kind of things. But there can also be fruit of bitterness, fruit of other kind of stuff. And so we want good fruit in our life. And a lot of times we're trying to deal with issues that are going on, like stuff that, you know, habits we keep repeating. You know, like, for example, and I didn't plan on sharing this one. Maybe somebody needs to hear it today. But, you know, you're always getting into bad relationships. You're always getting bad. You're always in a bad relationship. You're like, oh, man, this time it's going to be different. But then it's not different. And so that's a fruit of something deeper. And so it doesn't matter how many times you hack off that fruit. Whatever, where that root is what we got to take care of. And so we're going to look at and kind of examine some fruits and roots. Say that with me. It's just fun to say. Fruits and roots. Sounds like a good rock band. And now the fruits and roots, right? And so we're going to just develop some, look and see and say, okay, of the 5 stages of spiritual growth that Jesus taught us through a parable, and that's just where Jesus would take something that we all understand, something everyday life point, and he would say, he would take it and he would apply spiritual things to it. That's kind of what a parable is. And so we're going to learn from Jesus' parable where he shows us the 5 stages of spiritual growth. And so we need to look on here and say, hey, man, where am I at? Right? Wouldn't that be good? Yeah. And so, and we're going to say, all right, this is where I'm at, but I'm going to make a commitment that I'm going to move to the next stage. I'm going to move to the next stage. And next week, what I think I'm going to talk about is spiritual fertilizer. Hello. Glory to God. That's just rumbling in my heart. Spiritual fertilizer, because you know what fertilizer does? It accelerates growth. How many want your spiritual growth to be accelerated? Spiritual growth can be accelerated. It can be accelerated. And so, but today, let's just identify and say, okay, these are the 5 stages. I want to look and see where I'm at. I'm not going to look at other people, right? We're not going to be looking and saying, that's you. That's you, baby. We're not going to do that, right? And we're not going to be like, oh, I'm the parent. That's the last one. No, we're not going to do that. We're just going to say, hey, for me, I want to see where I'm at. I want to locate myself because I want to grow. Because I want the fruit that I'm producing to change or to multiply. Amen. And so that's what we're going to do today. You guys ready for it? The good news is that what God begins, he finishes. In Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6, it says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Isn't that good? You know, God did a work. When we get born again, God begins a work in our life, and God is going to keep working in you. You can be like, man, I got a long way to go. That's okay, because you got a big God that'll take you the whole way. Amen. And you say, boy, I've gone and come back. That's okay. This is where you're at today. And God is still at work in you. Isn't that good news? God's not like, girl, you're a mess. You know, that's not, God doesn't do that. God says, you know what? This is where you're at. Let's go, because we got somewhere to be. Amen. And so God's still at work in you. I don't know about you, but I take confidence in knowing that God loves me, that God's at work in me. God has not given up on me. God isn't over me. You ever just been over somebody? You're just like, you know, you're just on my last nerve, right? You're on my last nerve, right? But you know what? God doesn't have a last nerve. Thank God. Amen. Because we've all been on it a couple of times. God doesn't have a last nerve. He is in, his love never fails. And so God is for you. And so wherever you find yourself today, just be like, hey, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. I'm not gonna get down on myself. I'm not gonna beat myself up. I'm just gonna say, hey, this is where I'm at, but this is where I'm going. Amen. It's not about where I'm at, it's about where I'm going. Because God's always, always going to be for me. He's always going to be on my side. He's always going to be saying, you know, he'll forgive me. He'll accept me. But he's always pushing me to grow in him. Amen? Because that's where the good part is. So Jesus used parables. We know that. And so today, the title of this message is, Here We Grow. See what I did there? See what I did there? Here We Grow. I almost want to sing that song, but I'm not going to. All right, so turn over your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. This is a great truth. Luke chapter 6, verse 43 and 45. We got it up here? It says, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Verse number 44. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Woo! Somebody say glory to God. Amen. Lock the doors, ushers. Here we go. All right. So whatever we're full of, help us, Jesus. Right? Whatever we're full of, we're gonna find out of our mouth. And so when we see this scripture, we're going to be able to see a couple things, because verse number 44 says, each tree is recognized by its own fruit. I'm the tree. And this doesn't mean like you're evil, like you're a bad person. It just means you got some too much of the old life in you, too much world in you. That's all. It's getting rid of that worldly way of thinking and picking up more of God's way of thinking. That's what we're talking about here. So don't be like, oh, they said I'm evil. No, you are not evil. But the world is. The world is. And so it says each tree is recognized by its own fruit. And then we're going to be able to find out what kind of fruit we are, or what kind of tree we are, by the fruit. And the way that we discover our fruit is through our words. Because the Bible says, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. There's a lot of people that claim to be an apple tree. They're like, I'm an apple tree. I'm an apple tree. But this is what's hanging off of them. No matter how often I say, I'm an apple tree, girl. I'm an apple tree. I don't care what you say. I'm an apple tree. If this hanging off of me, what am I? I'm a lemon tree. I'm a sour lemon tree, right? Because the fruit shows what the root, what the tree is, what the root is. This, you can't, it doesn't matter how many times I walk around telling everybody, I'm an apple tree. If all I got is lemons hanging off of me, I need to face the fact I'm a big old lemon tree. But I can change that.
Yeah.
Amen? I can change that. And I'm going to. If I want to change it, see, with God, I could be lemon. Nothing against lemons, although I really hate lemons. Nothing against lemons, but God can change me from a lemon tree being a sourpuss to an apple tree. God can do that. Amen? So if you look at the fruit in your life right now and you're like, man, I don't like that fruit. I don't like what's hanging off of me. I don't like what's coming out of me. I don't like what's around, what I'm producing. I don't like that. I want to change some things in my life. I don't like having the same kind of relationship problems over and over again. I don't like having, low self-esteem. I don't like having, self-doubt. I don't like all that kind of stuff. I don't like that lemon stuff, that lemon fruit. The good news is that God can change you from here. He can change you to here. God can do that. Amen? Man can't do that, and we can't do it on our own, but God can. You can change the fruit that you're producing with the power of God. You can change it. And so if you look at stuff in your life and say, man, I'm sick of this. I want to change. You can do that, and I'm going to show you how to change. Because here's the thing. Like these right here are actual apple seeds. These are apple seeds. Look how small they are. And these apple seeds produce apple trees, which produce apples. One seed can produce hundreds, if not thousands, of apples. Isn't that incredible? But if they only sit in this cup, what are they going to produce? Nothing. Nothing. There's so much power. We look in here and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's 8. We got 8 seeds out of one apple. 8 seeds out of one apple. This has so much potential in it. Think of how much 8 apple seeds can produce if they each just produced one tree. When I was in Chicago, we don't have them down here because it's Florida, hello. I went to an apple orchard. And for just as far as I could see were apple trees. And on every tree, just tons of apples just hanging off of them. This cup has so much potential in it just with this little bit of seed. And so you may look at yourself right now and say, I don't feel like I can do much. Just remember, the seeds of faith are way more powerful than these apple seeds. But they have to be planted. Because just by themselves, they're not going to do anything. Just like if I just keep leaving my word, leaving my Bible, let me see yours, mine's digital. This doesn't do any good like this. It's like that seed in a packet. It can sit, it can be close to me, I can hold it. Oh, I love the word. But if I don't open it and plant it, doesn't matter how much I love it. Right? People are like, oh, I love the word. Well, I love it, but listen, loving looking at it, just closed up, is not going to help you. I got to take this out. Each one of these words is like, we learned this last week from Psalms 119. Each scripture, each verse is a seed that when I get it from here and I plant it into here, the Bible says that it will produce in me and that will begin to change the fruit that I'm producing. You want to stop being a sourpuss, a big lemon tree? You can change that by planting the right seeds. We got to plant the right seeds. So that's what we're going to talk about today is planting the right seeds. Because here's a truth that we have to understand. The root reveals the fruit. So whatever I'm seeing, it's from me. It's from the root of me. And if I want to change that, I can. And so we're going to look at how to take a look at the words of Jesus and assess our life tree. You guys ready to assess your life tree? Not your family tree. Somebody say amen. Thank you, Jesus. Right. Not your family tree, because you may be here today and you'd be like, man, my family tree is messed up. You know what? This is your tree. You are an individual tree with God. You're not going to stand before the throne of God with your whole family. You're not going to stand up there with your mama. You're going to stand up there with you.
Hello.
Amen? And you're going to be able to say, you know what, Lord? Look at how I grew. Look at how I grew. So it doesn't matter what your family tree is. This is your life tree. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
So over here in Luke chapter 8, this is Jesus teaching the disciples. He's teaching the disciples, Luke chapter 8, verses 5 through 10. And lots of us have heard this parable before, but we're going to look at it a little bit different today. So as a farmer went out to sow his seed, as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Verse number 6, some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown, just like that apple seed does. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Verse number 9, his disciples asked him what this parable meant. So if you heard that and you're like, I don't know what that means, that's okay. Neither did the disciples. They had to ask Jesus, what are you talking about, right? What's going on here? And verse number 10 said, he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables so that through seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." And so Jesus is saying, listen, what I want us to see here is saying this: the farmer goes to sow the seed. Guess who the farmer is today? I am. I'm the farmer. And if I had overalls, I would have worn them today. But I don't have any. So I'm the farmer today, and we're sowing the word. I'm sowing the word. And today, it's going to go into different ground. Each of us has different heart conditions. We're at a different stage of spiritual growth. And so as we sow the seed to everyone, and that's why some people walk out of a service and they're like, man, that changed my life. That was powerful. That was so awesome. Last week you're like, I'm going to read the word. I'm just so excited about reading the word, you know, and you're excited. And somebody else walks out and they're like, meh. The same seed was thrown. It's the same message. We didn't give a different message for the front rowers, right? Everybody gets the same seed. But it goes on different places. And so we need to make a decision today that I'm gonna improve the soil of my heart. I'm gonna improve it. I need this word because I got lemons hanging where I want apples hanging. Amen. I don't want sour in my life. I want sweet in my life. And in order to do that, I gotta change the fruit. And in order to change the fruit, I gotta change the root. All right? And so we're going to look here at 5 stages of spiritual growth. So the seeds they got to be planted. They got to be tossed out. I'm throwing out the seed this morning. And so in Luke chapter 8, verse number 12, it says, "Those along the path are the ones who hear." Those along the path are the ones who hear. Say, that's me. That's you. "And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved." And so the very first stage of spirituality, we would call death. Death or dead. People who are dead spiritually. They have not accepted Jesus. They have not accepted the Lord as their Savior. They're not alive spiritually. They are closed. They won't let that seed of Jesus bloom in their life. They won't even let it get planted. They're like, nope, nope. And so until that seed is planted, it's never going to produce. And so in John chapter 12, verse 24, it says, Jesus is talking. It says, "For truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in the world will keep it for eternal life. And so we're talking about unbelievers, that first stage, and we were all there one time, that first stage of unbelief where I don't believe, I'm not into it. And this is what an unbeliever looks like. These are their characteristics. And we can all look back and say, if you're here today and you're like, you know, I haven't received Jesus yet, well, you're in this spot. The rest of us, there's a lot of us in here, we're like, man, that was me, but I grew out of that. But a characteristic of an unbeliever, they're deceived and blind to the truth of God's love. They're just blind to it. They live contrary to the Bible. They may or not believe that there is a God. Some actually do attend church, but they're not ready for a personal relationship with Christ. Yet they definitely identify as being a believer, even though they're not. They've never said yes to Jesus. Listen, coming to church, Joyce Meyer says this all the time. She says, coming to church doesn't make you a believer, just like standing in your garage doesn't make you a car. How many know that's true? You know? Or I my personal spin on it is just going to the gym doesn't make you fit.
Yeah.
Right? Doesn't make you fit. You got to do something. You got to get into the program while you're there. Going there doesn't make you fit. Wouldn't it be great if it did? Wouldn't it be great if all you had to do was be like, I'm here, and then all of a sudden muscles would start growing and fat would fall off? Wouldn't it be fantastic? All those gym memberships that we pay for and don't use would finally be worth it, right?
Amen.
But no. You actually got to get on that treadmill. You got to lift those weights, right? Just like just coming to church doesn't make you a believer. You know, being part of a family that are believers does not make you a believer. That's why this isn't a family tree. This is a you tree, right? It's a me tree. And so we're talking about unbelievers. You know, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 3 says this, as for you, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time. We all were a non-believer at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. And so that first circle of spiritual growth is there is no growth. You're dead spiritually. But here's what comes out of their mouth. Remember, we will know the fruit. We will know the condition of a person. We will know what kind of tree you are, because out of your mouth will reveal it. That's why if you hang around with somebody long enough, you'll find out what they believe about most things. But here's what an unbeliever, this is what's going to come out of their mouth. This is going to be the fruit of their mouth. I don't believe there's a God. The Bible's just a bunch of myths. God is a crutch. I hate that one. There are many, this is a very popular one, but still, if this is coming out of your mouth, you are an unbeliever. There are many ways to get to God. No, there is one way. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. And then another one, if there really is a hell, I'll make it a party. Man, people who know that, you got no idea. Or, I've been a good person. I've been a good person. When you ask somebody about Jesus and what they think is going to happen when they die, well, I've been a good person. No, we can't be good enough. Or this is becoming more and more popular. There is no absolute right or wrong. There is no absolute right or wrong. Or this one is pretty bad. I'll take my chances with the man upstairs. I had somebody say that to me one time. I'll take my chances with the man upstairs. I'm like, okay. But if we could describe this first stage of spiritual growth, there's five. If we could describe it in one word, it would be this one word. Unbelief. They don't believe. Don't believe. And so what does that person need? If you're in here today and you're like, man, that sounds like me. You need to be born again and to make Jesus the Lord of your life.
Amen.
That is the solution. That is the only solution to unbelief, is to be born again, to believe. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to know all the books of the Bible. You don't have to know how it works. You just got to recognize and pay attention to that calling on the inside. The Bible says that there's a God-sized hole in every man's heart that only God can fill. You got to pay attention to that. And with all your questions, God's not afraid of your questions. He's not afraid of the question, where did the dinosaurs come from? God's not afraid of that question. Amen? God's not afraid of questions. He'll answer every question you have. But you got to let him in first. You got to let him in. And so next, let's move on to number two. In Luke 8:13, this is still Jesus, still throwing out that seed. It says, those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. So these are the ones who we've received the word. We're excited about the word when we hear it, but we have no root. And so these are people who have come to the place of accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But as a young plant, and you know, I got plants in my yard. I'm a little more into planting now. I've got a lot better at it over time. But when plants are, when you're free, they're so fragile. Like you can just like a weed, because weeds come fast, right? How many know, if you know anything about planting, gardening, that kind of thing, you can reach down, and if a weed is brand new, you can reach down and you can pull it and you can get all the root very easily. Very easily. And that's who this is talking about. We got the word, but because we're new, we're babies. We're babies. And there's nothing wrong with babies, right? We love babies. We love babies. How many love babies? I mean, babies are, no matter how ugly a baby is, it's still cute, right? You know? I mean, it's still cute. I mean, you can be like, whoa, oh, but it's still cute, right? Because it's a baby. It's a baby. Babies are super cute. And so, but this is that baby stage. And so as a young plant, they're easily uprooted and, listen to me, pulled back to their old ways. This is, remember, we're looking at the five stages of spiritual growth. So first one is unbelief, right? Let's just assume that all of us are moved past that one, okay? Now we're in that baby stage. But see, if you're constantly pulled back to your old way of living, you're constantly pulled up. You're in a baby stage. And again, we love babies. Babies are cute. Babies are cute. That's where you're at, but let's keep growing. Because there's nothing worse than a spiritual baby for 10 years. That's tough, man. But it happens all the time. It happens all the time. And so here's the reality. As a baby, you're a spiritual infant. You're a spiritual infant. And so we love infants. We care for infants. And that's our role. That's our jobs. But here's the qualities that define them. So all right, now fasten your pew belt so you can't run, right? Because, you know, babies don't like to be told stuff. So here we go. Here are qualities that define spiritual babies. And listen, if you're new, it's okay, all right? This is why it's so important you don't give new Christians a hard time. We wouldn't give a baby a hard time. We wouldn't be like, get up, right? A baby's laying there. We're like, get up, man, you sluggard. We wouldn't do that, would we? Right? We wouldn't do that. I mean, you're looking at me like, oh. Exactly. But we do that to baby Christians. And that's why a lot of times baby Christians don't last, is because believers, spiritual people that are a little step ahead, you give them too hard of a time. Listen, if it's time for them to roll and they roll over for the first time, what do? Woo, they rolled over. We're so excited. We celebrate it. We're not like, really? Big deal. Big deal. No, it is a big deal. And so if you're a baby, we love you. We love you and we care about you. And we're going to help take care of you, because you need us to take care of you. Because you're a spiritual infant. You're just in here and you're struggling. And you're struggling to let your roots grow in the world, and everything's trying to pull them up. I want you to know that we're for you. We're not against you. We're not judging you. We're not behind the door like, can you believe it? We're not doing that. Every time you roll over, we're like, yeah! It may not seem like a big deal. It is a big deal. And when you sit up for the first time, when you raise your hand for the first time, you're like, oh, Look at our baby. Look at our baby, right? They're growing. That's love. That's love. I remember, I will not, you know, I've raised lots of babies. That's my job, to raise spiritual babies. But I remember there's just, you know, there's many, many that come to mind. But I remember when I was a youth pastor, and I'll talk about them because they're not here. When I was a youth pastor, and I remember this is probably 25 years ago, right? Or I don't know, it's a long time. And so I remember giving a salvation message. And I remember this young man who'd never been to church, his family didn't go to church, just no church at all. And I remember him sitting, he was sitting there, and I gave an altar call, and I remember him sitting there, and he goes like this. He looked up at me, and he went like that. Just raised his little finger. That's where he was. And he received Jesus, right? He received Jesus. And then what a joy and what a privilege to see him grow. I remember the first time, and I remember because there's just something about this kid. I won't name their name, but something about this kid. I just became his spiritual parent. And I remember him just, all he could do is raise his little finger, right? And he's kind of looking around to see if anybody saw him. That's okay. That's okay. And then I remember he would come to church, and during worship, he'd be like, you know, he's a teenager, right? He's goofy. And he's like this. And then I remember one night, I'll never forget this night, I was standing in the back, and I remember seeing him do this. Just do that. And I was like, oh, my baby, right? And then like next week, it was this. You know, and I was just so, I wasn't like, come on, raise your hand, get into it, what's the matter with you? No, I was rejoicing because he was growing. And then just, you know, it's like one little hand, you know, it's like, you know, and then next little hand, next thing you know, it's like, right, you know? And then he started praying, and then he started just getting into the Word. He came to a discipleship class that I did and just started getting hungrier for the Word. And I just saw him grow and grow and grow. Grow and grow. And now that guy is still doing great. Still doing great. But what happened? I saw him grow. But he was a baby, just like I was a baby. We were all babies. We're all spiritual babies. We can't give spiritual babies a hard time, right? Now, if you've been a spiritual baby for a long time, then if it's you and you've been in church for a while, and you'd be like, okay, man, put the Pampers away, right? But here are characteristics of here are qualities that define spiritual babies. You ready? One, they really don't know much about biblical truth. They don't know much, but that's okay because they're learning, right? There's a lot of confusion. They have a lot of confusion because they're learning how to replace old habits and old lifestyle with new habits and being a disciple of Christ. So there's a lot of back and forth, you know? I remember we had a bunch of people coming at one time, and they were all big smokers. They're all big smokers. And so after church here at BBC, they'd all be out here smoking. And so I had some people like, what are you going to do about all these smokers? What are you going to do about these smokers? You know? And I was like, let's put an ashtray out there. And I was like, well, we probably need to put an ashtray out there. And that person looked at me like I had two heads. They were like, I mean, what? They want me to kick them out? Because they're babies? Come on. And so, you know, that person that was all bent out of shape about it, I said, I think we should probably put an ashtray out there. They were just like, what? You're going to enable that? You're gonna accept that? And I was like, I'm going to accept it. Because that's where they're at. That's where they're at. And if that's where they're at, I'm not going to push them away. I'm gonna make sure they know, listen, I don't care whether you smoke or not. We love you. We care about you. Amen. And that's true for anybody in here. You know, listen, here, let me give you a newsflash. Nobody goes to hell because they smoke cigarettes. Nobody. Nobody goes to hell because they do drugs. Nobody goes to hell because they, whatever you think people go to hell for. There's only one reason why people don't go to heaven. And it's a reality that we don't want to talk about anymore because it's not politically correct, but it is the truth. And we do a disservice as farmers. We do a disservice as seed sowers to not speak the truth. There's only one reason. It's because they do not accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There's going to be people in heaven, you're going to be like, you're here? Wow. Wow. How did that happen? Right? Be like, man. Man. But you know what? They accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and maybe they stayed a baby their whole life, but the point is they accepted Jesus, and if they accept Jesus, they're going to go to heaven, right? So let's quit giving people such a hard time. Let's give them a hard time. We're here to locate ourselves. We're not here to locate other people. Amen? We're here to locate ourselves. And so, you know, here more qualities that define them. There's a lot of confusion because they're coming out of the world. You know, just like when you're in a new place. You're in a new place. You don't know how to get around. You don't know where stuff is because you've moved to a new place. When you are out of darkness into light, you have moved to a new place. And it's going to be tough and it's going to be difficult and you're not going to know your way around and you're going to need somebody to help you. You need somebody to help you because you're a baby. You're a newcomer. And that's okay. We all were at one time. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, it says, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. So it's okay to crave that spiritual milk. It's okay to be a baby. But the Bible says, let's grow up. Let's grow up. So if you're a baby now, we love you. We care about you. We're going to take care of you. But we're going to help you grow, right? And so the thing about babies, they don't tend to be real involved in church. You know, worship is more of a spectator thing at first. They're kind of like, what's going on? What's happening? Because think about worship. Think about this. You know, before you judge people like, man, they don't even raise their hands. They don't even get into it. Before you do that, remind yourself of where they are. Worship is an entirely new experience to them. Entirely new. Because all before, when music is played, they're listeners. They're just listeners. They're entertained by it, right? We're entertained by music. We hear it. It calms us. It soothes us. And now you come into church, and it's all new. It's all a new experience. And we're saying, hey, we're going to worship. Some people are like, I don't even know what that word means. I don't even know what that word means. What is that? Is that this is not worship. It's part of worship. But it's not the whole picture of worship. And so when we're just coming in, it's okay to just stand. It's okay. It's okay to not sing if you're not at that place. It's okay. You're a baby and you're learning and it's okay. It's okay. But we're, you know, our goal as farmers, as seed sowers, is to take you from here and move you at your pace, move you to that next stop. But before, you know, don't look around and be like, you know, that's wrong. That's wrong. You're going to produce lemons, right? Babies tend to have a low level of love for others. And babies are in receive mode. They're not in give mode. But that's okay, because then that's how natural babies are. You know, we don't have infants over in the nursery like, hey, where's your tithe? We don't do that. We don't pass the offering in the nursery, right? We don't do that. We're like, where's your tithe? Where's your milk money, right? We don't do that. Because they're babies. And that's why we say here at BVC, we give because we want to. If you're not there yet, that's okay. That's all right. It's totally fine. And so, and here's what babies say. Here's what they remember out of the fruit of their mouth. Through the mouth. So if you hear this coming out of your mouth, you need this is hard to hear, but it's my job to say it. And so if you hear this, you say, okay, that's where I'm at. It's okay, I'm in the nursery right now. It's okay, I'm in the spiritual nursery. It's okay. Listen, I was in the spiritual nursery too. So was Pastor Angel. So was Devon. So we were all of us were in the spiritual nursery. But we moved up, right? So if this sounds like you, say, hey, that's all right, but I'm going to make a decision to move up. I'm going to move up. So they say, why do I need to go to church regularly? Why do I need to do that? I've been hurt by a lot of people, so it's just me and God. Just me and God. I pray and read my Bible. Will I be good enough? No. I don't need anybody else, just me and Jesus. I don't need to change my life or change any of my stuff or any of my habits. And you hear this? I didn't know the Bible said that. I didn't know the Bible said that. And so if we could describe spiritual babies in one word, and when I say this word, remember what this word means. It means unlearned. It means you just haven't learned yet. And so you're at that place of ignorance. And I know that's a harsh word, but remember what it means. It doesn't mean that we were stupid. We're not stupid. We're made in the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ himself. The Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. It just means we don't know yet. Our roots are still not as strong as they need to be. But you know what you need at that point? You need to be planted in a local church. And you need someone to feed and care for you in order for you to grow and thrive. Just like babies need people to take care of them. You need to be fed. You need to be told that you need to be changed, right? We need that, and that's how we grow. And so if you want to move, you can stay a spiritual baby the rest of your life if you want to. But you're not going to produce much fruit. If any. You're a tree, but you're not producing. And I don't know about you, but I want to produce some stuff in my life. How about you? And so if that's you, again, don't be like, oh, man, that's offensive to me. Listen, number one, that's a sign of being a spiritual baby. Easily offended, right? And so I need to be planted in the church. And so in Luke 8:14, let's look at that next, the next stage. We're looking at, this is number two. Now we're going to number three. So the seed will fell among thorns. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, the riches and the pleasures, and they do not mature. They do not mature. And so this is a child. This is a child. You know, we've come from baby, now we're in that childhood. They don't mature. And somebody would call them just a spiritual child. You're not a baby. You can do some stuff on your own, but you still choose not to. And so one of the things, that qualities that define a spiritual child is being very selfish, being very self-centered. Because they're self-centered because they are the center of the world and then interpret everything from a me perspective. Do you get that? They interpret everything from a me. How does this affect me? What's in it for me? What's going to happen with me? Well, what is that? If you're very me-centered, you are self-centered. Yeah. You're self-centered. And so, and the idea is, and would be, because they're inexperienced, a lot of time people that are just children, you've grown a little bit, they tend to be very black and white in their thinking. And they, many times, and listen to me, because I don't want this in my church, you tend to be very legalistic. Very legalistic. Very judgmental. Because you've gotten just a little bit, and so now you think you know everything. You think you know everything. Listen, it's not our job to police other people. Oh, you're listening to secular music. Oh, you know. Let people grow at their own pace. You know, I personally don't really listen to secular music. But if I got into your car and you were listening to it, I wouldn't be like, Jesus. I can't even believe, oh, I bind these spirits in the name of Jesus. I mean, it's just like, so it's because everything is, you want, it's because you do it that way, you want everybody to do it that way. Because you're very me-centered. And so a lot of times in the qualities of that define somebody who's a child is they're very, very selfish, very idealistic, is very legalistic in things, you know? And you're either super overconfident or super underconfident. They bounce. There's no stability because you're just bouncing all over the place because you're just a kid. And so, you know, usually somebody in this position, you read your Bible on Sunday, you're all excited about the word on Sunday, but then, you know, it kind of goes out a little bit, right? And here's what a spiritual child sounds like. I didn't like the music today. I didn't like those songs. I wish they would have done these. I'm not being fed. I'm not being fed. Why are they always talking about money around here? And this is my personal favorite. Pastor looked right at me and didn't say hello. Didn't say hello. Listen, that probably has happened. First thing, do I have my glasses on? True story. This is not even a lie. I remember one time something had happened, and I didn't have my glasses. This was before I was the pastor. And one of the singers was on the stage, and they kept, like, trying to get my attention. They were, like, looking at me. And so then by the end of the service, they were completely offended at me and upset. So mad at me. Walked up to me. What's up with you? I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, what's your problem? Seriously, this actually happened. They were like, seriously, what's going on with you? And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what I'm talking about. You don't know what I'm talking about. I'm like, I really don't know what you're talking about. I really don't. And they said, I was saying hi to you, and I was trying to get your attention from the stage, and you just blew me off, weren't even responding, and you were looking right at me. And I looked at him and I said, I don't have my glasses on. I can't even see you. All I see is a blur, you know? And they're like, oh. But the whole service, all they thought about was my response to them. That's all they thought about. Listen, there have been times where I have had my glasses on and I haven't said hi to people and I've been in the zone and I've walked right through and I know that all of us have done it, all the staff members, and it happens. It does happen. We're not bad people. We're human people. And we are not aware sometimes. And I know I fall for it. I was coming out of here. I walked through the thing, walked to the back. And John from Rhema was standing there. He just got into town. And I was like, hey, how are you? And just kept walking. I didn't even realize who it was. Because in my mind, I was thinking, because the Lord was just doing some things about the message. And I really want to get it right. I don't just like, oh, it's Sunday. I don't do that. I want to get it right. And so my mind is on what I got to do. Listen, you stand up here and talk to, you know, 100 and some people every Sunday about something. Some really love you and some are like, what do you got? You know? I mean, let me see you do it. It's hard. And so I was coming through and I was thinking about the message and like, oh, I hope this is good. You know, I'm just, hope I get it right. You know, I'm just praying like, Lord, thank you for your anointing. Lord, thank you for your anointing. Fill my mouth with the right. I mean, I do that every time. I walk right by him and Josh was like, Pastor Peggy, do you know who this is? And I turned around and I was like, oh, it's John. You know, I thought it was Dario, honestly. I was like, I thought you were Dario. I was like, hey, Dario, and just kept walking. No offense to Dario, but, and so, yeah, it happens. But don't ruin a whole service thinking about my response to you. The point of service is your response to Jesus. Amen. That's the point of service. And so it's your response to Jesus. And just when I do that, because I know I do it. I know I do it. I know I do it. I do it. And I'm sorry that I do it. And I know other people do it. And just remember, when I do it, just remind yourself, she's not a bad person. She's not a bad person. She's not aware a lot of times, but she's not a bad person. You know, but see, the thing is that so many times, like a child, because it's all about, well, she didn't respond to me the way I wanted her to. And you can do that with other people, not just with me, like, oh, nobody said hi to me, nobody did. Listen, we love you, but you're here for Jesus. And if people say hi to you, that's a bonus. Yeah. Now, people should say hi to you. Yeah, that's true. People should say hi to you. People, we should do that. We should be friendly. But that's not the main reason why we're here. We're here because we want to change the fruit that's coming off of us, right? And so we want to make sure, you know, that we're moving past that. Let's grow past that. Let's go say, you know what, she's like that. Because I am. She's like that, but she's all right. You'll love her, you know? She's like that. Or whatever gets you know, like, oh man, somebody's in my parking spot. Somebody's in my seat. I don't like this coffee. I don't like this. That's all me-centered. And we need to, and it's okay to be there, because you know, when we got little 2-year-olds over in preschool, and their favorite word is what? Mine. They want everything their way. Everything their way. But we don't want to stay in preschool Christianity for the rest of our lives, do we? No, we don't. And so the word there, the one word we describe that is just being self-centered, which there's a time when that's okay, but we got to grow out of that. We need to learn how to engage with Jesus on a personal level, and we need to learn to start feeding ourselves. Amen? Start feeding ourselves. All right, let's keep going. We want to get through all these. And then the next one, Luke 8:15. But the seed on the good soil stands for those who, with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. All right, now we're starting to get into some fruit.
Hello.
Right now we're starting to get into some fruit. The Phillips translation says it like this. They go on steadily producing a good crop. Doesn't that sound good? They go on steadily producing a good crop. Here's the thing about a crop. A crop is enough for not just me. I don't just have, I got one little tomato, right? No, a crop is enough for me to feed me and feed those around me.
Yes.
Isn't that where we want to go?
Yes.
We want to get enough fruit on us, good fruit, not lemons. We want to get enough good fruit on us where we're getting enough for ourselves. We're going to take care of us. And we also got enough for everybody else. Where you come into church, not like, meet my needs, people, right? I mean, that's how some people come into church. They're like, meet my needs. Meet my needs. We want to get to that place where, okay, if that's where you're at, let's grow out of that. We're coming into church saying, Lord, use me to meet other needs. Glory. Isn't that beautiful? And that's where we want to go. We want to persevere and produce a good crop. The Message says it like this. These are the good hearts who seize the word and hold on to it and hold on no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. Sticking with it until there's a harvest. And so the last two stages of growth are taken from this scripture here, where we stick to it until there's a harvest. I want to encourage you, all right, if you're a baby, that's okay. We're going to take care of you. We're going to help you grow. And just like things that are healthy grow. So if you keep feeding on the word, you keep coming to church, you keep saying, you know what, Lord, I want to be more like you. You know what's going to happen? You're going to grow. You're going to grow steadily. You're going to still grow gradually. And you're going to begin to change. And next thing you know, what's coming off of you begins to change. You're going to look at people different. Your marriage is going to get better. You're going to be a better parent. You're going to have the peace that passes understanding. The healing power of Jesus is going to start moving through your body emotionally, physically, right?
Yeah.
Because you're growing. You're growing. And we all want to get to that point where like, man, I'm producing fruit. I'm producing it. That's where we want to go. And so we call this one as the first part of this be like a spiritual young adult. Spiritual young adult. We're doing great. We're doing great. They have a God and other-centered outlook. They begin to see that God has a purpose for their life, and their priorities begin to change. Man, that's how you know you're growing in the things of God, when your priorities begin to change, where God becomes a priority. He doesn't fit in your schedule. He is your schedule. Everything else fits in. Man, we want to grow to that place, and we're all growing. And so they have a God-other-centered outlook. They begin to prioritize, and they go public with their faith. They go public with it. They're more willing to be identified as a follower of Jesus. And they're more secure with Jesus, and they're able to overlook the faults of others. You're able to overlook some things. You're like, you know what? They're growing. You don't give people such a hard time anymore. You're not so legalistic about stuff because you're growing. They believe in church. They believe in church. Church is the institute that God ordained. This isn't man's idea. This is God's idea. And you believe in it. And here's what they sound like. I noticed there wasn't enough greeters. You want me to help? That's not good. I love church. I love my church. I want other people to experience it. I didn't mind parking a mile down the street today. I didn't mind that. Because it made room for other people in the parking lot. People that are growing and you have that out, you start noticing when other people aren't here. I'll give you a great example of maturity in the body of Christ. On Saturday, we had prayer requests. One of the prayer requests came in, and we were praying. And it was for somebody for their finances. They've recently gone through a life change and praying for their finances. And so as we're praying, nobody said anything. Nobody, there was no offering baskets, nothing like that. Just through prayer, people started writing checks. People started getting their money out and brought it up for the person. That's beautiful. That's how it's supposed to be. That's how it's supposed to be. So today after service, I literally have an envelope full of money for somebody. Isn't that beautiful? I don't know about you, but man, that's what Jesus is all about to me. Whereas we don't come and say, well, what's in it for me? We saw a need, and just by the prompting of through prayer, everybody's like, oh, nobody's like, hey, what are you giving? No, we're just like, oh, you know, I just did it. Being others-minded. When's the last time you looked around and thought, you know, hey, I haven't seen so-and-so, I'm going to give them a call. Check up on them, make sure they're okay. One word to describe this stage of spiritual growth is service. You start getting a heart of a servant. And then the last one real quick, last one of our groups. So we've gone through death, where you don't know anything. We've gone to babies. You're just your baby right now. That's okay. Everybody's a baby once, right? Then we go to a child. And that, you know, is very, you know, how many have kids in here? How many are your kids like super self-centered, right? And sometimes you just look at them like, really? You know, I mean, they're only 8 years old. Of course they're self-centered. That's how it is. That's how it is. But if they were, you know, 18, 19, they're still like that, you'd be like, you know? By the time you're 30, hello, that's going to explain a lot of fruit in your life. Hello. Being selfish will explain a lot of fruit in your life. So we got death, you don't know anything. Then we're moving to, you're an infant, you're a spiritual infant. Then you're a child. Then you're a young adult. You're growing, you're persevering. And the last one is you're a parent. Notice it's not you're an adult. You're a parent, and here's why. Because parents reproduce. We want to be spiritual parents. We want to reproduce, because when you're a spiritual parent, you're taking care of babies. You're not kicking them when they're down. You're not giving them a hard time. You're loving them. You're caring for them. You're feeding them. You're encouraging them. Hey, it's almost time for preschool. Right? Almost time for preschool. And then when they're in preschool, you're like, hey, time, let's keep growing. Let's keep growing. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you where you're at. So it's that heart to grow. A parent, there's nothing like a parent's love. You see parents with their kids, nothing like it. They have a heart for their children. They have a heart for their children to be the best that they can be. They will give of themselves for the growth of their child. It's beautiful. And it's very Christ-like. A spiritual parent Jesus is the most important relationship in their life. They're fully surrendered to Jesus, and they're able to reproduce. They're able to feed themselves spiritually. That's the key. They recognize their gift and how to give it in the body. They recognize their gift and how to give it to the body. And that's spiritual growth. You know, we have people in our church that flow in the gift of prophecy. They recognize their gift, and more importantly, they know how to give it to the body. They know, they follow under the way that church flows. They know how to give it. We have people have a gift of giving. People have a gift of praise and worship. And so when we know our gift and we give it, we're growing and we're reproducing. And so we got to ask ourselves, man, where am I at on this? What's the word seed doing in me? And I want to grow. I want to grow. How about you? Because you know what? Babies are cute. But 200-pound babies, not so cute, right? Not so cute. Not so cute. We wanna take go from where we are and say, Lord, you know what? I'm ready. I'm gonna make a commitment to grow in my walk with Jesus. I wanna make a commitment to grow out of things. I wanna change the fruit. I got all these lemons in my life. Lemon relationships, lemon finances, you know, all this stuff is just soured. That's what lemons are. They're sour. It's just soured. And I want to change it. I want to change the fruit. Listen, the only way to change the fruit is change the root. You got to grow. Amen? You got to grow up. And so I encourage you today. I know this is a hard message, and you know, we love to have fun in church, and we love to lay hands on people. We love all that stuff, right? Right? Don't we love that? We love that. We love to have word of prophecy, word of knowledge. Like, oh, boy, that's good. We love all that. But we also got to take the messages that say, you know what? That's locating me, and it's going to help me grow. Amen? Because we're going to grow. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes just for a minute. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus. I just thank you, Lord, for everybody in here that you help us to locate ourselves. You help us to see where we're at on the spiritual growth. If we're babies, that's okay. But we're going to strive to grow into preschool. We're going to go from nursery to preschool. And if we're in preschool, that's okay. God loves us and we've grown to this place. But we're going to make a commitment to keep growing. We're going to keep growing because we want to produce a crop. Not just one or two apples. Man, we're here to produce a crop that feeds many people with the goodness of God. And so if you're here today and just as a point of declaration and determination and accountability to God, if you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, I'm making a commitment. I've recognized myself today. I've heard some things that have come out of my mouth. I heard them today. I recognize them. But I'm making a commitment to God to grow to the next level, to grow to the next level. I'm making that commitment today. I'm a preschooler, but I'm making a commitment to grow today. I'm in the nursery, but I'm making a commitment to grow today. I'm a servant. I'm a young adult. I serve, but I don't really parent anybody. I don't help anybody else. I'm making a commitment to become a spiritual parent today. I'm going to grow. I'm going to go to the next level. If that's you, just out of sign of accountability to God, shows when you raise your hand, you raise your heart. You're saying, Lord, I'm serious about this. I'm serious about it. If that's you, you're going to make that commitment. I just want you to raise your hand right now and say, that's me. That's me. That's me. Oh, thank you, Lord. I don't know about you, but I got my hand raised. I want to grow. I want to grow. I want to produce more fruit for you, Lord. And so I thank you. I see hands all over. And Father, I pray for every person here who is bold enough to say, I want to grow. Who's committed to say, I want to grow. Lord, I pray that you help each one of us. You help us. You help us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's get to growing. Now, next week, we're gonna have a little more fun. It's gonna be all about fertilizer. We might even bring some in. Spiritual growth accelerants. Accelerants. Because you know what? When you're a kid, it takes a while to grow naturally. Yeah. You know? I mean, we don't have 6 foot tall, 2 year, eight-year-olds walking around. Why? Because it takes a while to get that tall. But spiritually, you can grow fast. You can grow faster than you can naturally. Yeah. And there are things you can do to accelerate your spiritual growth. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. But we're going to receive our supernatural tithes and offering. And listen, this is all we ever say about finances. We say, let's say it together. We give because we want to, not because we have to. So if you want to give, we say, you can go ahead and give. And if you don't, what do we say? Just keep it. We love you. We care about you. But offerings are received. They're not taken. There's a whole bunch of us here. We're excited about giving. We're in this house. It's our house, and we're going to take care of it. And so, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give, and we count it an honor and a privilege to sow into the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.